Good morning.
Good morning.
Jesus Holy Catholic Church is at its best as the body of Christ when it listens to and heeds the Holy Spirit's help and guidance in all things. Almighty God, our Father, commends His Son Jesus faithful again and again through the power of the Holy Spirit's help and guidance to follow, heed, listen to, and serve only Jesus to fulfill God our Father's will. In today's first lesson from Genesis, Abraham and Sarah listened to the Lord God's message. And in today's Gospel from St. Luke, Jesus teaches Martha that through her sister Mary has chosen the better part by first listening to Jesus. So it is today, through the power of the Holy Spirit's help and guidance, as we join with the universal priesthood of believers to hear Jesus' gospel, good news, and to follow, heed, and serve Jesus' ministry and missions.
When we are laid low by our sin and guilt, God our Father makes us alive together with His Son Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, forgiving us all our sins by taking our sins to His cross. For our salvation, Jesus sets us free. Rejoice in this great good news. Amen. Eternal God, our Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, You remain present with us in Your Son Jesus, and You make Your will for our lives known in Him. Amid the worries and distractions of our lives, continue to help and guide us through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow, heed, listen to, and serve Jesus, that we treasure Him and His ministries and missions above all else, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters, including our brothers and sisters in this country recovering from the earthquakes in California and our Gulf Coast states and the states north of those recovering from both hurricane and then tropical storm Barry, all victims of human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way You see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as You see fit so that Your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord God's three messengers visit Abraham and Sarah to tell them that the long-awaited promise of the birth of their child Isaac will be fulfilled for them in their old age. The first lesson today is from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." Word of God, word of life. Today, St. Paul preaches and teaches with great attention to the theological truth that God our Father is present in us as Christ in you. Because Jesus is present in His Holy Catholic Church as the body of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christians share in Jesus' salvation through his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and promise to return. The second lesson today is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things that have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established in the steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his majesty, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Jesus uses his visit to two sisters as an occasion to teach his disciples and us that an important aspect of obedience to Jesus is single-minded devotion to him and his ministries and missions. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, they entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus and his disciples into her home. Martha had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what Jesus was saying and teaching. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell Mary, then, to help me." But the Lord Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Your sister Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Great Heavenly Father, thank you for centering us once again to honor the Sabbath as you commanded your Israelite brothers and sisters thousands of years ago through your prophet Moses. We're grateful to know that your instruction given years ago through the Torah is not simply what we believe is law. It's a gift. It's instruction. It's how to live in peace with you and with our brothers and sisters. And we're grateful to know that part of that is the Sabbath, to set this time apart, to bow our knee to you, our Father God, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be washed, Father God, in your Son's redemption and in his righteousness, go forward from this place cleansed and refreshed in his precious body and blood, and unified through the power of the Holy Spirit and faith through Holy Word, to go out in the world and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is always breaking in and that God has invited us to be part of it, to proclaim his Son crucified and risen, and what great good news it is in our actions, words, and deeds. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you today to continue on in St. Luke's Gospel. We're wrapping up Jesus' teaching, the conclusion of his teaching in chapters 9 and 10, which really embody a message that he is going to continue to teach in 11, but he's finishing up some theological concepts He began when we started studying in chapter 9 and moving into 10 by saying, "Follow me, I command you." And it's a great thing to do. I give you the power of the Holy Spirit at your fingertips. Be excited when I call and command you and send you. Be excited and know that I am with you through the Spirit. My Father is well pleased when you're doing these things for me in my sight. And remember this in the call and command, Jesus teaches. I will not accept excuses. If I call and command you, then go. No excuses, Jesus has taught and continues to teach. I think there's a little bit of that today with Martha, don't you think? Don't you think?
Yes.
Yes, I'm good. Good. I'm glad you're here today. My plant. By the way, some really, really good news, and I'm glad you just smiled. Nancy finally got her dentures. How long did you go without having your teeth? Since Thanksgiving. That's steak. So give her a big amen. Glad. Congratulations on that. She had to wait and get them made. And do they fit okay?
They're a little long in the back.
Okay. Excellent. So that's really cool. Good news, isn't it? Now she can smile at you with some teeth. Isn't that incredible good news? No excuses, Jesus says. And then when I send you, here is your message. Proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And know that that means it's right here, right now, in the year of our Lord 2019. And it was last year and it will be next year. We don't have a faith that says the kingdom of heaven is some way far off in space somewhere. It's right here, right now. Jesus says, then through the power of the Holy Spirit, see your missions and your missions fulfilled. I see some of them fulfilled over here. Well, school supplies, that's a lot of stuff back there. Some of it's already gone. Actually, you didn't come to the first service, so most of it's still there. But there's a whole bunch of food in the kitchen that's going to be going to St. Teresa's things. We do a lot around here, have you noticed? Yeah. Jesus also taught at the same time when his disciples came back with their success stories. He says, don't boast. Be grateful and give thanks that you are allowed to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand and you can take part in it. And know this and give thanks that your name is written in heaven for all time. Our names are written in heaven. We get to proclaim that to people. Salvation has come, and his name is Jesus, and your name is written in heaven. His Father knows every hair in your head, even if you have less than you did long ago. Your name is written in heaven. Jesus goes on and says, to fulfill these things, when he's questioned on how, the law and the prophets hang on two commandments that are interconnected, Jesus says, in a different teaching, but it's embodied in his teaching in chapter 9 and 10. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus teaches later that all things from the law and the prophets hang on there. To love God and love your neighbor. And proclaim to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Parlaying that last week, Jesus taught the parable. The Samaritan, the despised one. And Jesus says, no excuses. There was again a man wounded, beaten, and left naked on the road, probably unconscious. And two people stepped to the side, a priest and a Levite. And who showed mercy? The one no one thought. The Samaritan, right? If you're loving your neighbor, Jesus says, as yourself and God, then you will also take care of your neighbor and show mercy. And that is part of bringing the kingdom of heaven at hand. Jesus says, do these things, go, and do likewise, I command you to. And that's exciting. And Jesus continues to teach today with Martha and Mary and all those gathered. What does he teach? Listen to me. This isn't the first time that this will happen. It's happened at his baptism when his father spoke. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And in all the Gospels, the Transfiguration story, the Father speaks. And what does the Father say to Matthew? No, Matthew wasn't there. Sorry. St. Peter has been a long couple weeks. James and St. John, when they gather and they see Moses, Elijah, and Jesus is more brilliant, his divinity, totally on display. This is my son, my beloved, the Father commands, listen to him. That's Jesus' theological objection today. Mary has got it. Martha, you're distracted and worried about the cares of this life. It's embedded here in this story that Jesus has gathered people together in this house to teach.
And she would have been invited. And instead, she's off doing something else, thinking it's more important. And Jesus lovingly says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by the cares of this world. Your sister has chosen a better part, and it will not be taken from her. Martha, Martha. Finally, next week, someone after these chapters says, Lord, I'm struggling with how to love you with my whole heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, and my neighbor as myself, to show mercy and to go and do likewise, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How do I do these things without excuses? Teach us to pray. It's only recorded in St. Luke chapter 11 and the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, St. Matthew's Gospel. The Sermon on the Mount is in chapters 5, 6, and 7. Rather important teachings if it's three chapters, don't you think? I believe Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer is most accurate to what his intent was in St. Luke's Gospel. When he's asked, he said, you need the strength to understand how to listen to me and then go and follow and serve. Pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Who's first? God. Your kingdom come, not ours, yours. If we're listening and following, that is great good news, because that is the kingdom of heaven at hand. Grant us, not give us, grant us this day our daily bread. And in Greek, bread is sustenance. Everything that you see that we need. Jesus says, yeah, when you pray that and live it, now you're getting it. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Show mercy. Go and do likewise. And save us from our time of trial. He does not say, do not lead us into temptation like we have. Save us from our times of trial. Save us from the evil one. We need your assistance. We need the Holy Spirit's help and guidance. You don't need me to talk like that, but I do. One. And of course, we added these glorious words. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and hallelujah. They were finally getting it. How do we accomplish those things? It's that simple. Pray the Lord's Prayer and live it as best as we can. Aren't you excited about that? But the gospel always has intrigue. Wouldn't you love to be in this room today? Not this one. There were no bingo boards. Wouldn't you love to be with Mary and Martha and those gathered? We don't know what Jesus taught. Aren't you ever asking yourself, I wonder what he was teaching that Martha was ignoring, but Mary chose the better part? We don't know. When I get to heaven, I've got to find them. But I don't need to find Martha because she wasn't there. I want to find Mary. What was Jesus teaching that your sister didn't get? But you did. Tell me. Aren't you excited about those things? It's just me. That's gospel intrigue. And we'll get to know someday in the glorious teaching. And then we'll be able to sit at the Lord's feet and be taught by him for all eternity. And to see the glories of his handiwork and all of his creation with his Father and the Holy Spirit. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Then, yes, I could still use a day off. Jesus continues to command us, listen and go and serve and do not be distracted or worried. I am with you. If you have time, please read the newspaper article that was in Friday's Daily Sun. It's well written, and it's not just about Christ Lutheran Church. There are six churches mentioned, from Bellevue all the way to Leesburg. There's part of the information about the Garden Worship Center, where Pastor Norman Lee serves, in Old 484 in Bellevue. There's a piece of it about Christ Lutheran Church. And then there's a piece about Hope Lutheran Church, both the Lake Weir Central and their southern campus, which they're starting. New Covenant United Methodist Church is also in there. Very large church, has a very large new church built and up and running. Their home base is on 466. St. Vincent de Paul, Roman Catholic Church in Wildwood, which is right next to Rock of Ages, is now expanding again. And they're busting at the seams down there. Good problem to have for Christians, isn't it? All the way down to First Baptist in Leesburg, which is a huge church on 27. Actually, on 441, I believe. No, 27. In this incredible good news, one of the pastors or deacons says something that theologically made me think, and I totally disagree with. The person says, well, yes, here in the villages and the surrounding communities, people have moved and their faith is being rerooted and reignited. Bunk! You didn't move here to find Jesus in the villages. Or Stonecrest, or Spruce Creek South, or Leesburg, or Bellevue. You are Christians who are now finding opportunities here outside of your medical appointments to serve. The villages is not some hot spring of, wow, this is the new Mecca of the Christian faith. The village is Florida, where you can go to church by golf cart if you choose. And you can stay in your golf cart at certain churches if you choose. That's not rooting and deepening your faith. Your faith is just ignited and always has been. My parents are role models for that. They never lived here. What the article says is, well, people get busy, you know, they get worried and distracted because they're raising their families and they're working. My parents raised three kids. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, which is a lot more than a 40-hour week. My dad worked for U.S. Steel, and what they taught us in faith wasn't second to family. They never got distracted or discouraged or worried. My dad served as a deacon, an elder, in Glenshaw Presbyterian Church for years. My mother served in various capacities in the Lutheran church we went to and the Presbyterian church. What great role models they were. I'd come home from college, both undergraduate and graduate. And I had all the concerns about school and worrying and bar hopping. And I wouldn't go to church. But every Sunday when I was there, they were leading by example. They got up and they went to church. I think they were trying to tell me something, don't you think? And it worked, because now you're stuck with me, at least for another 10 minutes or so. I don't believe if my parents had moved here, if the villages was around then, they would have said, wow, I'm so glad I moved to this community where I rerooted and reignited my faith. People who are coming here brought it with them. And their churches around here are an expression of how to love the Lord your God and your neighbor and show mercy. That's the good news of the article, isn't it? There's something else that's important. I mentioned to you, if you were here, that I specifically stayed away from the site when the steeple went on. If you go back and read that article, every person who is quoted in length is either a pastor, clergy, or a deacon, except for Don. He's a deacon by osmosis, but that's for sure. Don's article was really good. He recaptures the growth and the birth of us, but really the rebirth from St. John to here. He did email me and said, Pastor, I have to let you know after I read it, I didn't say that we were nomads. To me, Don's is the most important article in the paper because it comes from a parishioner who has worked his tailbone off along with his wife to make sure so he could love the Lord God and neighbor and have a place of mercy that is going to go on in the future. I think that's pretty cool, don't you? And it came without all the distractions and the worry. A lot of concern and a lot of hours. Have you caught up when you're sleeping? She didn't even bring you back any lobster. Did you get another flash water for your birthday? Didn't you give him a flash water? But you gave him a flash water for his birthday, didn't you? Used flash water. To me, if I was reading that as clergy or an outsider, I would have been really fond that I do, powerful, that it was written by a parishioner about the life of our congregation. But isn't it exciting? We just ordered chairs. Are you excited? Go and do likewise. Listen to the Lord. We always try to do it. The Holy Spirit's help and guidance. The reason this building is shaped the way it is, and the reason it's laid out the way it is because we've done everything we can to listen to the Holy Spirit's help and guidance so that this is a worship center that the Lord would want. And it's very different from where we came from for very good reasons. One, hospitality. Any of you remember St. John? Welcoming was hard. We had the runway. You came in. There was a greeter table, and there was all that noise. And whoosh, there was a funnel straight into the sanctuary and in the fellowship hall. When they built it, they weren't thinking about that. Have you noticed this is very large and square? So when you come in, you'll be welcomed. You're all going to sign up to be greeters again, right? Right. House of Gene will be up and running. In that, those who visit will have a place to be welcomed and not hustled around right there in that welcoming area. It's a welcoming center. The second premise of this building was to be functional. There's no static space here. The offices are as small as we could make them. That's not where the ministry happens. The ministry happens here, here, and here. That is incredible good news. We're not going to have a static worship center. That was the only thing that drove me nuts about St. John. We had that huge room that was only used for Sundays or a memorial or the singing group. That room, when it's finally done, will be able to be open for the Lord's missions and ministries 24 hours a day. Aren't you going to come work at night? There you go. That's functional. And it's expandable. Purposely. Not for us. For those who come after us. Someday, people are going to come to that place long after we're gone. And in here, they're going to find two plaques that have 260 names on them. Those names are the founding members of Christ Lutheran Church. They're going to be on the wall somewhere in there. And people are going to say, wow, those people went and did likewise. They listened to the Lord and the Holy Spirit's help and guidance. They gave us a place where we are welcomed. Shown mercy, fed. We can build a bigger church. And isn't this building functional for the ministries and missions of the Lord? And if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. And that's the third time I preached that today, and I'm still excited about preaching it. And that's exciting, great good news, because people like Cesar Acavone are sitting in heaven, and he already knows what that's going to be for those who come after us. And he's got to be smiling that big Caesar grin, going, Lord, we listened as best as we were able with the Holy Spirit's help and guidance. May your will be done. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father of tender compassion, as your Son Jesus heals your sick and welcomes your strangers, through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to bless those who leave this assembly to share Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and eternal life from his Holy Communion banquet table with our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound, in skilled care, assisted living, hospice, and hospitals. Grant that they continue to be sustained by the love and prayers of this community. By the bread of life and wine of salvation that satisfies all hunger and thirst, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. O God, our Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to live our lives serving your Son, Jesus, and his ministries and missions, rooted and built up only in him, and abound in thanksgiving, and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, remain upon us and eternally sustain us now and forever. Amen. Remember, as Pastor Carlson always told me, the Lord be with you now.
Go in peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. God our Father continues to send us to serve his Son Jesus and his ministries and mission fields. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day.